Welcome to Spirited Word. By God's Word proclaimed, the Holy Spirit works faith in God's grace in Jesus, when and where He pleases. Sermons by Pastor Adrian Kitson, Lutheran Church of Australia.
The word for today is written in the third chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, beginning at verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. And when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, sometimes I have wondered if there is a limit to God's forgiveness, particularly when I read that last verse, or I hear that last verse. Never be forgiven. An eternal sin. Is it true? Is there a limit to God's forgiveness for people? Is there a limit to God's forgiveness to people who do very bad things, like drive very slowly around the Barossa when I'm in a hurry? Or they don't dip their lights from high beam to low at night time on the expressway when they're coming towards me. People who call me trying to sell me something I don't need 5 minutes before dinner time. People who park in the main street and take up two parking bays. Birds who do their business on my motorbike. Dogs who do their business on my driveway. Pushy salespeople. The bloke named Josh, who once kept me on the phone for 2 days while trying to locate a Telstra phone problem. Can there be forgiveness for such a terrible act? Well, friends, life has taught me, and I suspect it's probably taught you, that any of us are capable of any bad thing given the worst circumstances. Don't you think that's true? Like those people who, for some reason, place themselves in those terrible TV programs like Survivor. They place themselves in the absolute worst human environment, and the whole point of the exercise is that really bad behaviour and words come out so that we can all view it on TV and shake our heads and say how terrible those people are. The point is, I guess, that we are all capable of doing wrong and evil and all of that, and even the very worst things, if the situation ever gets to that. That seems to be what the scriptures suggest as well. In this word from Jesus, my ears were certainly drawn directly to that text on the screen, the unforgivable sin. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. That person is guilty of an eternal sin. So I find myself wondering, Is there an end to God's grace for me and you? Is there a limit to how much or what he can forgive? Maybe after all, my non-church mates who say, oh, I'm too bad for God. If I came to church, the roof would fall in. Maybe they're right. Maybe his forgiveness is withheld from people who do really bad things. If that's the case, then how can I be sure that I am forgiven? Have I crossed the line? Am I outside of God's forgiveness by some persistent sin that I can't seem to overcome? Do I really have to do something or understand right things for God to forgive me after all, to free me, to heal me, even to love me? Let's pray. Spirit of God, open the eyes of our hearts now so that we may know you better this morning in this word. Amen. So we hear this morning in the beginning of Mark's gospel that Jesus is extremely popular, very popular. The public just cannot get enough of a fast-moving, action-orientated man. He has such authority, they say, and he really gets things done. People are being called to follow, and they just follow. People are being taught who God is with an authority that it has been long lost for generations. People are hearing evil spirits tell the world who Jesus is. The Son of God, they say. Jesus is pushing evil around as he heals Peter's mother-in-law in chapter 1 of a fever. And he heals countless sick people with their illnesses and frees those who are suffering from evil oppression and even possession. People are witnessing what was humanly incurable, the disease of the day, the cancer of the day, I guess, leprosy, that's being dealt with on the spot. The fame of the man is immense. Traveling around becomes difficult, and as we heard, eating becomes difficult. He's a rock star. He's a sporting hero. He's the latest guru who was promising the world. Interesting that Jesus sees people in Mark's gospel. If you read the first couple of chapters, he sees people's faith in him, and he does what he says is even greater than and much harder for him than the healing of the human body or the freeing of the human spirit. What could be harder than that? He dares to forgive people their sin. Now that is God talk. And it will eventually cost him his life. Of course, the heavies are seeing too. They're there. They're seeing Jesus. Right there at the beginning of his ministry, they're right there watching. And they are already talking about the removal of this threat. Jesus crosses the boundaries, and he doesn't fit into their neatly divided categories of faith. For some people, this is extremely upsetting and confusing. For other people, it's inexpressible joy and life-changing to the good. So the now famous man finally returns home to Sleepy Town, to Little Nazareth, where everybody knows about this guy, or at least they think they know him. They know he's a carpenter and Joe's son and Mary's son. His parents, they know his family background, they know his land, where he lives, the whole deal. They know everything. Mary and the brothers wonder whether old homeboy has finally gone out of his mind. So they go to find out to this crowded house. Good name for a band, isn't it? Crowded House. Anyway, they were a good band. They go there and they send someone in to see if he'll come out, and Jesus doesn't come out. And they conclude, yep, like some crazy rock star, full of himself or full of delusions of grandeur, Jesus has finally lost the plot. Well, the heavies don't come to ask any questions anymore. They've asked their questions. They actually come to pronounce judgment on Jesus for the first time. So they say, basically, Jesus is evil. In fact, He is senior evil. He must be senior evil because he's pushing evil around like nobody's business, healing this, freeing that person, no problem. What does Jesus do? He responds and he basically says, I'm not Beelzebub. I am not evil. And what is happening here is not evil. I am not Satan. Jesus says, of course, that if Satan were using him, Jesus, to attack Satan, well, that would be silly. That would be a kingdom divided, and that kingdom will surely fall. Jesus says that he's not pushing evil around because he's more evil. Rather, and some may know this, like Captain Jack Sparrow in the Pirates of the Caribbean, as any pirate knows, you've got to tie up the strong man before you can loot or get all the loot and plunder his loot. And that's exactly what Jesus says he's doing. He's tying up the strong man bit by bit and carrying off his loot. And what's the loot? Oppressed, unwell, possessed, unforgiven human beings. Jesus is doing this every time he calls one man, one woman, every time he forgives sin, every time, as a result, people are set free and healed with his wonderful grace. And then the real point, and you can always tell, can't you, in the Gospels, because they always start with that phrase, truly I say to you, or truly, truly I tell you. People can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, presumably against me, says Jesus. So all sin and even blasphemy can be forgiven. Blasphemy, mocking God, railing against God, insulting God, calling what is beautiful and good evil, cursing Jesus' holy name, placing myself way above God in cynical and delusional and cutting tones. Even that can be forgiven, says Jesus. Remember St. Paul. What did he say? He said to Timothy, his young apprentice, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. 1 Timothy 1. Does that mean that sin is to be treated lightly? No, of course not. I'm sure you agree. Sin is serious. Blasphemy is hideous. It is not easy for God to forgive. It did cost him his son's life. Forgiveness for not giving a toss about being forgiven, as we keep on following our own desires and our own visions of our own life, in our own authority, in whatever way pleases us, by no means attracts God's forgiveness. No humble acknowledgement and seeking of forgiveness from a gracious God equals no forgiveness. As Paul says in Galatians 6, God cannot be mocked by flagrant and persistent flying in the face of his gracious hand that saves. And the next word that comes after troubles us, troubles me. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Very strong. That person is guilty of an eternal sin. What is going on here? Does this mean that we have a contradiction in the Scriptures? We've just heard that all sin, even blasphemy, is forgiven, can be forgiven. Is there a limit on God's grace? If so, have you reached it, friend? Have you crossed the line? Thank God that, as far as I can tell and many others can tell, this word says not that. This word is not saying that there is an end to God's open-hearted grace for you. For even the most persistent, the most serious sin that any of us could ever muster or that's ever been, there is forgiveness for the very worst. what this text is saying, what Jesus is saying here, is not that God is lacking authority and will and love to forgive any sin, but that people can lack the good grace to receive it. People can reject his outstretched hand of friendship and forgiveness. In fact, they can consider it evil and call it that. There is a limit to us, not God. And that's the unforgivable thing, because it can't be forgiven until it's forgiven. Some people, and you probably know lots, at different times, and even maybe you, for various reasons, reject God's love in Jesus outright, and they persist in calling God, in all of his goodness, evil. Especially in our 21st century Australia, I notice, Christianity is being called evil more and more. In so doing, for however long and in whatever way people do this, they reject the work of the Holy Spirit. And what's one of his jobs from John 16? To convict the world of sin, so that they find forgiveness. Without any awareness of who we are before God, really, there's no awareness of who we are before we are before God, really, in Jesus. So, friend, to be sure, there is no need to worry this morning that you have some terrible sin or you've crossed the line in some way that places you outside of God's expressed ability and will to love you, to set you free, to heal you, to make you whole, to include you, to accept you with everything that he's given in Jesus. There is no doubt about that. In fact, you know, people who worry that they have crossed the line and placed themselves outside of God's wonderful grace are the least likely to do so. Just even asking that question is a sign that you haven't, that you're not. If you're worried about committing some sin that will separate you from God forever, you're very unlikely to do so, are you? So, can we assure each other this morning as Christians here in the valley that we are forgiven, that the worst can be forgiven, that nothing is beyond the cross of Jesus, that he's done enough and he's done it all, and he did it and we didn't, and all we can do is graciously receive it as we do in faith. And because you can be completely confident in God's authority and will to forgive and to heal and to restore and to love and accept you and freely call you to service where you live, you should go right ahead and cross a few boundaries yourself. Cross a few boundaries in your family. Be called a bit silly now and again for being a Christian. Who cares? Can you go ahead and cross a few boundaries this week? At work, at school, at home, maybe even at church. Cross a few boundaries. Reach out a bit further. Say a bit more. Pray a bit more. As you speak, as you pray, as you sing, as you love, as you care in Jesus' name, do you know what you're doing? You're tying up the strong man. That's what you're doing. And you're plundering the loot. Or should I say, Jesus, the victorious Lord, is plundering the loot from the strong man through you. Every kind word, every witness to Jesus' grace, every witness to God's promises and presence, every sharing of a biblical word, every Bible study, every good Christian thing in Jesus' name you do, binding up the strong man. Jesus is binding up the evil in the world through you. You are free and you are called to carry this crazy gospel message that God is, that God speaks, that God loves as he speaks, he forgives as he speaks, he sets free as he speaks, and he speaks through you. Amen.
Thanks Thanks for listening. Pastor Adrian serves at St. Petri Lutheran Church, Nuriupa, Barossa Valley, South Australia. stpetri.org.au